Morning. What a fabulous day, isn't it? Really is absolutely beautiful. It's great to be here. I didn't realize the church had been going that long. It's fantastic how you've grown and how the Lord's blessing the work. And it's lovely to be back. I always enjoy coming to Yorkshire. People think I'm a Scouser. I'm not. I'm from Lancashire. I'm from Preston originally, so I'm a Lancastrian and a wannabe Scouser, but I always feel at home in Yorkshire. So thank you for your welcome. We're in the first letter of John, which was on page 1225 in your church Bible, if you want to find it. You started it last week, I believe, and are going to be doing a series. I hope I don't repeat anything that was said. We need to just remind ourselves where we're at. The letter was written by an old man. They sometimes call him in commentaries Pastor Papa John, because he had a heart for the gospel. He had a heart for people that he loved. He was an older man with lots of experience. He went through some terrible experiences himself, rather like that lady we heard about just then. Do you know, on one occasion in his life, from people who didn't love the Lord Jesus Christ and the work he was doing, they tried to boil him alive. And he survived, so he must have been a tough cookie. Sounds horrible, but that's what happened. The other thing that's often said about the man who wrote this letter is this, that when he became so old that he couldn't move, he didn't have a wheelchair, but they carried him round and they put him in front of any group of people who would listen to him. And because he was so old, to virtually anybody, he could say, "Little children, love each other." Because he was old enough to say it, he could get away with it with everybody. I'm nearly there, not quite. I think there might be a few here who are older than me, which is always encouraging, but I've nearly made it to that threshold now. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 to 10. Moving on from last week, tell us this. Who God is, who the Lord Jesus Christ is, what a Christian is, and whether we are a Christian who loves and follows the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a great letter about love, but the verses I've been asked to speak about today are all about a one-on-one with God by every one of us and a one-on-one with the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm going to ask a question before we start. We'll get into the verses. Won't take long, and I'll ask it at the end. Have you had a one-on-one with the Lord Jesus Christ? Not talking about church attendance, not talking about Christians that you know, not talking about meetings you like coming to. Have you had a one-on-one, eyeball to eyeball, with the Lord Jesus Christ? That's what John wants us to do, and not walk away, but come right to him and claim him as our own because of what he's done for us. Notice what John said last week, verse 1. What was from the beginning, what we've heard, what we've seen with our eyes, what we've looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life, these things I'm writing to you about. Now, I think Jonathan spoke last week, and I'm sure he said the following. John was saying, I'm talking to you from personal experience. I lived and walked and breathed with the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, I touched him. We were friends. We could hug each other. We could walk side by side. I'm not making it up. I'm not imagining it. These aren't myths. I knew him. I walked with him. And I want to tell you exactly what he's like. And this has been the case, says John, from the beginning. Now, you don't need to know your Bible too well for me to remind you of this, then we'll get right into the passage. In Genesis chapter 1, have a think and please shout out. Unless you think you might be wrong, then you get egg on your face. What's the first thing God says in Genesis chapter 1?
In the beginning.
What is the first words that God says. In the beginning, he said something.
What a word.
No, Genesis 1. Let there be light. First thing God said in creation was, let there be light in the beginning. How does John's Gospel open? John's Gospel, New Testament. In the beginning was the Word. John is into creation and Christ. Remember two C's. John's really into creation and Christ. In the beginning, God said, let there be light. The most important thing that every one of us can enjoy, the light. In the beginning, he says in his gospel, was the Word. So he was there when light was created. He was there with the light when God pronounced it. Do you know why? Because Jesus Christ is God. That's what John's saying. Do you know? I met him. When I came this morning, got a big bear hug from John. Big fella, big bear hug. Right? I met him. He met me. It's not an imagination, and he's there now. All the friends I have here are here now. I'm not making it up. John said, I met the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? I rubbed shoulders, maybe hugged, maybe helped out, because he did, God himself. Wow. That is some claim. That is some story to tell, not simply Papa, Pastor John, to your grandchildren, but to anybody who'll read the letter. And that's what we're doing this morning. Verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him, the Lord Jesus Christ, and announced to you. In other words, listen in. I've got something incredible to tell you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. That's why God is so other, so different from us. Be honest. You know there is darkness in you. You do, and so do I. When I do that, I'm doing three of them, and one of them, one to you, four to me. We know there is darkness in us. We're not all pureness, purity, and light, are we? You know the dark thoughts, the dark words, the dark secrets. When we click a mouse on the computer, when we're on the sofa with the remote control and just going through, or leafing through a book, or seeing a person, or an advert, or whatever, and you know, and I know exactly what happens, what's here, and sadly but true, people we'd like to go with, places we'd like to go, films we'd like to see, books we'd like to read, we have some very dark corners in our lives. That is not at all what God is like. God is light. All light. In him is no darkness. And then John says, if Christians, if people who claim to know God make three claims themselves, but actually the claims are phony, then we better watch out. And this is what he says. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and are not practicing the truth. In other words, if we say I'm a Christian thief, I'm a Christian adulterer, I'm a Christian liar. I'm a Christian blasphemer. In other words, when I come here, when I go to church, when I'm with the right people, I say I'm a Christian, but I just cannot stop telling lies. If I say I'm a Christian, but I just cannot stop putting my hand in the till or rifling through somebody's jacket or whatever, or... And if I say I'm a Christian, but I always stop at that same channel. And if I say I'm a Christian and one of my favorite sites on the internet is that www. And I just cannot stop going there. John says this: if we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we're kidding ourselves, we're deceiving ourselves, and most stupid of all, we're trying to kid God. When we go with our feet, with our eyes, with our minds, where we shouldn't go, listen, God is not there. Why? Because there is no darkness in him. So he can't be watching that channel. He can't be following the mouse clicks to there. He can't be reading the same lines that we're reading or looking at those same pictures in that magazine. He can't, because in him there is no darkness. He is light. The darkness is in me and in you. And John is saying this, I think. If we claim to know, claim to love, claim to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, but nevertheless walk in darkness, we're showing that our life has not been changed as we know it should have been, because everybody who has a one-on-one with the Lord Jesus Christ, their life must show a change. Now, of course, I know what some of you are thinking. But I get tempted. Yes, we do. And I was tired. We all get tired. And I was bored. We all get bored. And so I did that. Or I went there in my mind, or with my feet, or with my fingers, and with my heart. We've all been there. We've all done that. But John says this: if that characterizes us, if that is the only style that our life follows, then to claim that we're a Christian makes us a phony. There has to be a difference. There has to be. Verse 7, if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And this is what John is saying, I think. God, all light, no darkness. Us, far too much darkness. Get it sorted by asking for forgiveness every time it happens, and don't become complacent, don't become lazy. Have fellowship with God through the blood of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, cleansing us from sin. Come to verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 9. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Big words, big concepts. I'll explain. Let's own up to where we're at. John says this, verse 9, if we confess our sins. Some people think confess is just coming out with words, or our heart's pounding and we're trying to sort of get things off our chest. It's got to do with that a bit. Do you know what the word confess really means? Really does. If we agree with God about our sin, that's what confess means. Call sin what he calls it. So don't call it laziness, boredom, getting caught out, oh dear, slipped up again. Don't, let's say, somebody's had an affair when they have completely misbehaved with somebody else. Don't say, well, I'm liberal with the truth, when I'm a liar and I said something was black when it was white and I said yes when it was no. Let us agree with what God calls sin, and he calls sin, sin. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How? Well, you see, we cannot cleanse ourselves. We can try very hard. How many times have you turned over a new leaf? I'll do it next Monday. I'll start this year. I'll never do that again. And bang, here we go again. We've dropped a clanger. We've just gone back to where we were. But John says, everybody who struggles with sin but will own up to it and acknowledge, who will say, yes, God, you're right when you call it that. You're right when you call it that. I have got a perverted mind. I have got a sewer in there. I really can go to some very dark places. And I know it's sin. If we will come to God and say, I own up, I come clean about the way I am, the way things are, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, let me give you an example. You've all heard Old Testament of King David. Yeah? Good man. Hard man. Never scared. When he was in the battlefield, never scared when he was out in the field with bears and lions and wild animals. But when he blew it with another man's wife, he became very, very scared. Because he knew there was a problem here and between him and God. He went with another woman when he shouldn't have done. Nowadays, people call that an affair. He didn't have an affair. He committed adultery. He went with a woman he never should have gone with. And for 12 months, he tried to call what he'd done everything else but adultery. Till somebody came and met him. He's a great fellow, this guy. He's called Nathan. And he went right up to King David, King or not, he was going to tell him. And he told him straight that he'd absolutely blown it, dropped a clanger, committed adultery, and it was wrong before God. And David confessed to God. He called what he had done what God calls it. And in Psalm 51, he says this. If you've got your Bible, try and find it right in the middle. Psalm 51. I think this is worth looking at very quickly, and we've nearly finished. Psalm 51. Sorry, can't count. He says this to God. verse 2. Wash me inside out clean from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. I know my transgressions. He calls what he's done sin, iniquity, transgression. I went that way when I should have gone that way and never gone with that woman. I've pretended my heart's okay, but it's a sewer. And I know I've deeply offended you when I never should have done so because I claimed I loved you. I'm an absolute washout. I'm an adulterer. I'm a liar. He didn't use the word. He's almost, honestly, trying to say I'm a pervert. Create, verse 10, in me a clean heart because my heart is a sewer. And renew a right spirit within me because my spirit's wrong. God, I have absolutely blown it. All the pretense was finished. All the polite words go out the window. God, you know exactly what I've done. And of course he does. And he knows what every one of us does and have done. If we say we've no sin, we're deceiving ourselves, the truth's not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now let me tell you something. Look at me. I'm a sad specimen, I know. For 8 years, so don't walk out, some of you, when I tell you this, I used to be a magistrate. Can you believe it? A justice of the peace, me. And people had to call me when I was in court, Your Worship. What a laugh. Me, Your Worship. They could have killed me. We could send people to prison for a year. And when you did that, when they looked at you, they could have killed you. If they could have got their hands on me, they'd have wrung my neck and more. Right? God is a judge. But he's a faithful judge and he's a just judge. If we don't confess, he will judge us for our sin. But if we do confess, he is faithful to who he is and just. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us. Why? Because his son has taken the rap in our place. Now think of this picture and we're finishing. Imagine a judge. Wig, gown, court, all the paraphernalia. Don't think I'm what I'm about to say. I'm trying to be blasphemous. And that judge is God. And we're in the dock in front of him. And the charge sheet's read out. A, B, C, D. Yeah. I confess. That's right. Guilty. What's going to happen to me? Do you repent? Yes. Do you know exactly what you've done? Yes. Do you repent of everything that you've done and want to be changed and cleaned out from the way you've been? Yes, Your Honor. And the judge takes his wig off and he takes his coat off, his cloak, and he comes down to the dock and we're cringing. We're absolutely knees knocking. What on earth is he going to do now? And he puts his arm around us. He says, do you know what? You're not going to jail. I forgive you. I'll clean you out. Come home with me. Join me in my home. Do you know why? Because my son has taken the rap, has taken the punishment in your place. He died on the cross. He shed his blood. And the blood of Jesus Christ, my son's, cleanses us from all sin. If we confess that we're a sinner, but acknowledge that the judge's son died in our place. And you know something? He'll take us home, really home, to be part of his family forever. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we've not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Do you know what that means? John never said it, but he did. Stop faffing around. Stop pretending. Stop making excuses. Stop being stupid. You cannot possibly con or deceive God. Own up, come clean, and it will be the best thing we've ever done in our life. The best thing. Do you know why? Because the best thing in the world that there is to be a Christian, to know the Lord Jesus Christ, to know that our sins are forgiven, and he has got promised to take us home to heaven. And what John is saying is this: I live with him. I saw him. He'll do it. He won't mess around. He won't mess you around. Come to him and you will have made the best decision, taken the most important step ever in your life. Sorry, probably too long. That's it. Have you had a one-on-one with Jesus Christ? Do you know if you haven't? Today, this glorious, beautiful day of light and brightness could be the best day ever for you. Listen, Grace Community Church is a great place to come. This church will not get you to heaven. Great Christian people here, they will not get you to heaven. Jesus Christ will. When you have a one-on-one with him. So stop faffing around. Get right today and be right forever.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you. Well, let's stand together and sing "You're the Word of God the Father from before the world began." Let's stand together and sing this.